and a privilege to get to preach to you tonight. Amen. 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 All right. If you take your Bible and turn with us, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we'll get right into the Word of God, and we'll let you be on with your evening. Amen. God sure is good, isn't he?
Yes. Amen.
I am looking forward to that heavenly homecoming. And I'm looking forward to it on behalf of myself, but I'm looking forward to it on behalf of my church family. And you hang around a little bit and have a few years with folks, and you see their heartache and their struggles and their pains, and it's an exciting thing to think about a reunion day in heaven. That's an exciting thing to me. Amen, amen. All right, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we've given to worship you tonight. I pray you'll just bless us in the remainder of the service, God. I know you've touched it so far, Lord, through the singing and the fellowship and the worship. I thank you for it. Now help us as we look in the Word of God. We need your help, your guidance. Please give us the very words from heaven that you'd have us to hear. I pray, Lord, make a lodging place in our heart and that we might get closer to you. Help me, thy servant, tonight, Lord. I pray, God, let me be a tool of use in thy hand. May every word, every thought, every action, every emotion, may it be according to your perfect will. Lord, help this old body and this feeble mind. Lord, use, Lord, this feeble mouth tonight to bring the Word of God. I thank you for the privilege, Lord. It is a great honor. And I am very respectful of the time we've been allotted and of the folks who've come this way. Help us to be an encouragement and a help to them. Bless the church and help Brother Jason tonight. God, bless them and touch them, I pray, in this revival effort. God, I pray, Lord, do a great and mighty work here. Stir their hearts. Stir our hearts tonight, I pray. And God, we ask you for that one that's lost. They might come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, thank you for that life given, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. I'm grateful tonight for the blood that was shed, that our sins could be forgiven. I'm glad to know that my record stands clear in heaven by none other than Jesus Christ tonight. I pray you'll help us. Meet with us tonight. It is in his holy and precious name that we ask these things. Amen. I want to read just a couple of verses tonight, if I could, please, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want you to understand quickly the context. The chapter starts off with Paul telling Timothy it is the last days. He said perilous times will come. Perilous times meaning dangerous times. Times when it's hard for you to function. Hard for you to continue doing what you're instructed to do in Christ. And in those perilous times and in those last days, he describes how men will be. And none of the descriptions he gives are positive. They're all negative. And he looks at Timothy then in verse number 10, and he says this: "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra." What persecutions, and I want you to notice the phrase he uses. He's not bragging here. He's stating a fact. He said, "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Now, I want you to get that tonight. That's not one of the verse I'm using to preach tonight, but I want you to get that. Paul says to Timothy, the elder Christian says to the younger Christian, "I want to encourage you. The last days are coming, and when they do, perilous times will be here, and it's going to be hard and dangerous for you to do what you do as a Christian. And I want you to look at my life, not because I did it, but because Christ did it through me. And I want you to see where I've been, what I've done, and what I've preached, and what I've lived." And he says to Timothy, he said, "I want you to know this, I endured it, but it was Christ Jesus, it was the Lord, it was God in heaven that delivered me from it all." Amen. Now watch this. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Timothy, I made it by grace. I stood my ground. I did what I needed to do as a Christian. But it was Jesus that delivered me. It was the Lord that delivered me. I made it by grace. Now, Timothy, something you have to understand in your Christian life is that everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Persecution is the idea of being pursued with malicious intent. Right. Having somebody after you with a malicious intent. Right. Now I want you to watch this. Evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's where we are today. Right. That's exactly where we are. Amen. Now verse 14 is what I'm going to preach on tonight. These three words. But continue thou. Preacher, what are we supposed to do when this world goes strictly and crazy against the things of God? Right. You continue.
Right.
Preacher, what are we supposed to do when our friends turn against us because of our Christian faith? Continue.
Right.
What are we supposed to do when what were once sister churches in Christ go a different direction? What are we supposed to do, preacher? Continue that. That's what Paul said. You continue. That's what you do. You can't quit. You continue. So here's what I'm going to preach on tonight as quick as I can. On keep on keeping on. Can I say this tonight? I have my church family here. My friends are here. I have preacher friends that are here. I have men I look up to. Can I say this tonight? You know what I need? I need for you to continue on. I need you to just keep on keeping on. I need you to be sure that you don't quit on me.
Yeah.
You don't know what encourages me to get up and preach, to see y'all keeping on for the glory of God,
amen,
knowing where you've been and what you've had to go through.
Amen.
Hey, man. And I need you to keep on. Hey, man. Brother Jason, you know what Mount Lebanon needs? They need their preacher to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Hey, man. Hey, man, that's right. Hey, man. Hey, you don't know what your pastor needs, Mount Lebanon? He needs you to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
He needs to know when the doors open on Sunday, you're going to be here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We need some people that's willing to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
That's what we need. 2026, everything's went crazy. Everybody's went nuts. The world's lost its mind. Half the churches that we know and love lost their minds. Amen. We need some people that'll keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God help us tonight. Keep on keeping on. Hey, could I give you this real quick? That word continue. Continue thou. That word continue, it means to remain, to abide.
Amen.
In reference to a place, it means to sojourn, to be kept, to be held. And watch this, not depart.
Right.
That's what continue means.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Depart. In reference to a state or condition, it means to remain and not become different.
Amen.
Don't change. Amen.
Amen.
I know we have to adapt to the day we live in. I understand that. Raising children in 20... Hey, you don't believe that? Raising children in 2026 is different than it was in 2016. And it's different than it was in 1966 and 1906. We may have to adapt to our day, but we ain't going to change. That's what that word continue means. It means just to keep on doing what you're doing. Don't look back. Don't let nobody change you. Just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Hey, watch this. In reference to time, it means to continue to be, to endure. Is that not exactly what Paul told Timothy?
Yeah.
I endured them.
Right.
By the grace of God,
right.
He delivered me. But I want you to watch something now. The grace of God delivered Paul. It's all the Lord. It's not anything Paul did and anything I did and anything you did.
Yeah.
It's all the grace of God.
Amen.
However, brothers and sisters, Paul endured.
Yeah.
Paul stayed the course.
Right.
If Paul had chose not to stay the course...
Right.
Then Paul wouldn't have made it through and God wouldn't have got the glory.
Right. Amen.
Amen. God's not going to press His grace upon you. He's not going to make you do anything.
Right.
The choice is yours. Paul made the choice to stay, to endure. And when he did, God's grace got him through.
Amen.
So, just keep on.
Amen.
Keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. I told somebody the other day, and I mean this with all of my heart. Listen, I'll tell you something. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what I am. Now, I'm a Baptist by conviction. But if the fundamental Baptists turn their tail and go completely crazy and go different from the Word of God, I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do. I done made up my mind.
Right.
You can call me what you want to call me. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. You can give me all the mean looks and words you can find, and I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. I might get discouraged, but I ain't going to quit.
Right.
And so all we need is some people and some preachers and some church members and some churches to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
I wrote this down, and I'll share it with you, and then I'll get into the outline. The sad thing is, Preacher Dwayne, as this elder generation of pastors and worshipers graduate to heaven, I find my generation willing at the drop of a hat to compromise at any cost in order to appease their generation and the one coming along behind it.
Amen.
Amen. Could I help our young folks just a little bit? If you're my age or younger, could I help you just a little bit? I'll tell you what the church needs. It needs you to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
It means you not needs you not to compromise, you not to back up, you not to give in. Preacher, it's hard, it's tough. I feel the oppression, I feel the persecution, I feel the mean look. I know it is, I know it's tough, I know it's hard, but you gotta do like Paul. You gotta endure, and by the grace of God you make it through. And I need you to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Number one. Keep on keeping on. Number one. Watch this. Keep on keeping on with the word. Verse number 10, Paul says this to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's the word of God. That's the truth of God.
Yes.
I'll tell you something. If this is what the Bible talks about, it talks about the last days, and it said there'll be a famine of the hearing of the word of God.
Yeah.
Meaning that people won't be listening and hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what we need? We need some preachers to preach that book.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. We need some preachers with tears in their eyes and a heart for the people and a heart for God to preach that book. Amen.
Amen.
And stay with the doctrine and stay with the good book. And we need some church members that'll get behind a preacher and say, praise God, that's good preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, man. Hey, I'll tell you something. You know how, number one way to encourage your preacher is be here. Number two way to encourage your preacher is when he preaches, if he's in the book, you say that preacher, he's a little coarse today. Well, you ought to let him know you appreciate it anyhow. Amen. I'll tell you something. If he preached to you with the love of God in his heart, amen, the Bible talks about the Spirit and truth. If he preached that book to you and he preached the truth to you and he had the Spirit of God in his heart, amen, you ought to meet him at the back door and say, whoop, praise God. That's good preaching.
Amen.
I went out when I first met my pastor, when I first met him, I went out one day, maybe about the second or third week after we'd been there. And man, he had preached my britches off. Everything I did was wrong. And I went out there and I shook his hand and I told him, I said, preacher, I appreciate that preaching. And I said, you stepped on my toes today. Miss Kimberly was standing beside me. This is what he said. He said, I missed. I said, what? He said, I missed. He said, I was aiming for your heart.
Amen.
Amen. So no matter how coarse it may seem or how direct it may seem, I'm telling you, the preacher loves you and he loves the Lord and he loves the church and he's preaching the word. You ought to tell him, I thank you. I appreciate it. You're doing a fine job. Just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
In the word. We need some church folks that will keep on in the word. We need some church folk that are so settled in the word of God that everything else is subject to this.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Hey, can I help us just a little bit? And I don't mean to meddle, and I don't mean to chase a rabbit. Somebody said one time, said, preacher, how come you're so narrow-minded? I'm about this narrow-minded.
Amen.
About as narrow-minded as the spine on that Bible.
Yeah.
Watch this now. Paul said in the last days perilous times will come. And one of the things he said, men will be more lovers of pleasure than they are lovers of God.
Right.
They will love the things that are pleasurable to them more than they love God.
Right.
We need some people that will keep on in that word.
Yeah.
We need some people to let that word govern every aspect of life.
Amen.
We need some people to keep on keeping on in the word.
Amen.
Watch this number two quickly. We need some people to keep on and keep on keeping on with the way.
Amen.
Here's what he said. Paul said to Timothy, thou hast known my doctrine. What's the next phrase? Manner of life. The way that Paul had chose to live his life. Brother Tommy, do you know tonight that even we as Christians who are saved and born again by the grace of God, we have a choice how we live our life. We have a choice just exactly how close to God we want to be. We have a choice just exactly how clean of a life we want to live for the glory of God. We have that choice. It's within us. We choose it. The pastor don't choose it for you. He may try to prompt you in a certain direction, a good direction, a right direction, but he don't choose.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He can pray for you and he can prompt you, but it's up to you to choose.
But here's what Paul said. I want to point you toward the doctrine that I presented to you, but I want to point you toward the manner of life, how I live my life. Now, I'll tell you something. Paul ain't bragging. Hey, man, Paul ain't bragging a bit. Hey, I could say the same thing about some church folk here tonight. I have some heroes in the faith sitting in this building tonight. I have watched them go through the fiery trials of life, and I've watched how their manner of life is, how they love the Lord, and how they wouldn't forsake Him, and how they stuck with the stuff, amen, and they just kept on keeping on. And I can say this tonight, I'm proud of their manner of life.
Amen.
We need some people to keep on in the way.
Amen.
We need some people that no matter what happens around us, no matter which way the world goes, which way the church goes, which way anything else goes, we need some people that's going to stick with the way, the good stuff, the right stuff, that good old way. Amen.
Amen.
We need some people to stick with the old path, wearing this good way.
Amen.
I need some people that keep on keeping on in the Word. I need some people to keep on keeping on in the way. I need some people tonight that I keep on keeping on with the witness.
Amen.
I would say tonight, and Lord help me to say this right, I would speculate tonight. I would speculate, that might be a good word. Probably who I'm preaching to tonight. Most of us here tonight, Brother LD, we don't have no problem staying with the Word. And we don't have no problem staying with the way. But I'm going to tell you what's happened. In this wicked world we live in, with all these churches conforming and changing and doing something different and crazy, we've lost that desire we one time had to be a witness for Christ.
Amen.
I'd say if there's a fault, I'd say if there's an issue, a problem, a trouble among the fundamental believers tonight at Mount Lebanon and over at Calvary and all these other fellas' church up to Piney Grove and up at Mabel and over at Stony Ford, if there's a problem tonight, if the problem is we don't witness like we ought to. Watch what Paul said. He said to Timothy, he said, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life. And what's this word? Purpose. I would challenge you tonight. To study the life of Paul after he met Christ. And tell me one aspect or one goal or one priority in the life of Paul that was more important than him introducing somebody else to the Christ he had met. Whatever he did, wherever he went. He could be, watch this now, Brother Dwayne, he could be on trial. Potentially about to lose his life.
Yes, sir.
And at every given moment, even on trial, about to give up, have to give his life, to have his life taken, he's still telling somebody about Jesus.
Hey,
man, I'll tell you something. If there's something where we've missed it today, we need some people to keep on keeping on with our witness. Somebody needs to. You'd say, preacher, I'm not good with words. Get them in a service like this and let them hear that kind of singing, amen. That'll help them. You say, preacher, they ain't never heard nothing like that. That might be just exactly what they need, something they ain't never heard before. Amen. We went to our home church and walked in, and I knew the pastor and I knew the church. I just never had been there. I'd heard him preach around, but I never had been there. We went in there, and they started shouting and praising God and singing and glorifying God. And I looked at my wife. I said, it's a bunch of Pentecostals around here. That ain't no Baptist church. It's Pentecostals. I never seen nothing like that. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This crowd around us, they need to hear about Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
We keep on keeping on with our witness.
Amen.
He said his purpose. Paul's purpose was to lead somebody to Christ. I need some people to keep on keeping on with the Word, the way, the witness. I need some people to keep on with the worship. In verse number 10, he says this, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. Watch this, my faith.
Yeah.
Timothy, I want you to be aware and take note of the faith that I've lived out in my life. You see, I could stand up here and tell you about my faith all night long, but it'd mean a whole lot more to you if you see me live it out. Everybody with me? And so Paul says to Timothy, you have known my faith. You know how I've stuck with the stuff. You know how I love the Lord.
Amen.
Every step of the journey, every step I've taken, every move I made, every choice, every decision, every word I said, I did it in faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I help you a little bit with your faith tonight? Here's what we think about faith. We think about our faith, and we think of somebody who's lost, and we think about that lost person falling under conviction and getting to Christ and confessing their sin. and getting saved, and we say that's their faith, and it is. But that's where faith begins.
Right, right.
That's not where it ends.
Right,
that's
right.
Not all there is to it.
Right.
It's not just being saved and having saving faith.
Right.
It's a saving faith that then moves into your life in every step of the journey.
Amen.
Is in that faith. Amen. Right? Somebody help me now.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what we need. We need some people that are willing, like Paul, to live out their faith. And watch this now. Now watch it. We all worship different. And that's fine. I come to that conclusion a long time ago. That's fine, Brother Kenny. I know people that like to raise their hand, and if it's in the Lord, that's good. I know people that won't raise their hand, but they'll shout. Now, if it's in the Lord, that's good. I know people that have never raised a hand and never said a word, but they'll sit in a pew and tears roll down their cheek, and that's good. I like it. That's good. That's worship, and we need it. But I'll tell you something. When we come to church and sit like a knot on a log and good singing and good preaching and good solid Bible preaching don't faze us and don't move us and don't change us. Hey, you say, preacher, I'm just that kind of person. Let me ask you a question. I'm not here to condemn you, and I didn't come to condone it either. I want to ask you a question that you ask between you and God. You and God. I want to ask you a question. You don't know whether you worship or not. When you come in here on Sunday morning and you leave here on Sunday morning and you walk out that door and you get in your car and you go back home, how much does the service stick with you? How much do you think about it? Anything that was said, anything that was done, a song that was sang, a testimony that was given, a prayer request that was given, the message the preacher preached. Hey, man, that's right. Hey, can I help us just a little bit? Can I help us just a little bit? A lot of, and I ain't saying us now, I'm just saying a lot of church-going people went to church this past Sunday and ain't got a clue what their pastor's message, his sermon, his title, his scripture, his direction. They can't tell you nothing. It was a good day, though. Did we worship, or did we just show up and perform religious activities?
You're right.
I tell you what we need. We need some people that will be so strong in our faith that we'll worship.
Yeah.
Brother Alex, we need some people that get so strong in our faith that we are willing to come to church and ready to worship.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got this thing backwards. I know I got to be done here. We've got this thing backwards. We come in, and we want Brother Jack and Brother LD in the choir to stir us up and get us ready to worship.
That's right.
We ought to come ready to worship.
Right.
We come in and the choir gets up and sings and we think, well, that's pretty good, but it didn't quite get me fired up. Maybe that preacher gets stirred up and help me a little bit today. We ought to come ready to worship.
Right.
God's been, hey, can I help you just a little bit? All he did was save you out of the pits of hell.
Yeah.
That ought to be something to worship him about.
Yes,
hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, can I help us? And if we are doing things decent and in order and under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, hey, if we are able to do that, he is always worthy of our worship.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
We don't need a cue.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I've been around enough of that crowd.
You're right.
Yeah. I've been around enough of that crowd. Brother William, they know when they're supposed to raise their hand.
Yeah.
They know when that preacher wants them to shout and amen.
You're right.
They know. It's down to an art.
Yeah.
That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm saying if you are where you're supposed to be with God and you're minding the Holy Spirit, worship is always in order.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care if it's in the middle of Walmart.
Amen.
Matter of fact, it do us and them good too over at Walmart if about half of our church crowd would go in the door and say, "Whoo, praise the Lord, I'm glad to be saved."
Amen.
It'd do that whole crowd good.
Amen.
If nothing else, at least clear the way where you could get through there.
Amen.
Brother Grant's smiling. You're going to try that next time it goes over, ain't you, brother? Just record it for me if you do, all right? Hey, we need some people to keep on with worship. Last point, keep on with the word, the way, the witness, the worship. Let me ask you a question before I give you point number 5. How many people here tonight, and it's not a trick question, if you don't answer it, I understand. But how many people here tonight can identify with Paul and say, boy, I've been in some hard places because of the choice that I made to follow Jesus.
Right.
I have.
Yeah.
I've hurt. I've had to hurt because of my choices to stick with the things of God. I want you to watch something. I'm through preaching. We need some people to keep on keeping on, even, number 5, with the weight. The word persecution, the pursuit with a malicious intent.
Paul effectively says that because of his position that he's chosen and the purpose that he lives each day with, there are those who are constantly after him. And they are after him with the intent of harming him or his ministry. I don't know if you feel like this. I just want to tell you how I feel. But I'll be absolutely honest with you. There's some times the devil crawls up on my shoulder and says, "Preacher, why don't you just close your Bible and go hang your suit up and just call it quits and let somebody else do it. There's somebody else out there do a better job than you will. Hey, somebody somewhere, why don't you just quit? Let somebody else have it." That's the honest truth. Help me, preachers. All right. Just want to make sure I'm where I need to be. Hey, Christian. Hey, church member. There's some times, if we're being honest today, there's some times you've served God, you've tried to stay in your lane, you've tried to honor God with your life, you've tried to put your family in the church and under the preaching and under the worship, and you've done everything you can to make sure you've raised your family right, and still yet, there are those out there that'll talk about you, run their mouth about you, make life hard on you. Hey, man, tell stories on you. Amen, and it hurts. And if we're being honest tonight, and this is what I need to get to, if we're being honest tonight, that hurt, the devil will use that to make us want to quit. I tell you what we need. We need some people that will keep on keeping on, even with that weight on them. I know that when I go to my pulpit on Sunday morning, I know the devil's against me. And I know he's against my church. And I know there's a weight there. There's a weight to carry. Somebody help me. Amen. And church people, you know as well as I do, you come to Mount Lebanon, your preacher prepared, and he come to preach, and you came to worship, and you come over here, the devil's against that. And there's a weight there. Amen. And what we need is some people that says, "You know what? I don't care how heavy you load me down, I will not quit."
Amen.
Job made this statement: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm going to keep on following God even if he takes my life from me." So whatever the weight is, whatever's going on, whatever the weight is, I need some people. We need some people. And I need to be the kind of person that just keeps on keeping on even with all that weight sitting on our shoulders. There are those who will insist on hindering your effort. And if you let them and the devil, they'll have you sidelined. Here's how that plays out. They'll have you convinced they don't need you down there at the church. But we do. I need every last one of you. And he does too. And so does he. And him. We need you. But he'll have you convinced that they don't need me down there. Hey, man, they'd be just well off without me. It'll have you convinced, "Preacher, you don't know how weary I am. You don't know how weary I am." You might be surprised. I know some of those preachers know how weary you are. Hey, man. And I'm weary, and I'm tired, and I'm just going to stay at home and rest tonight. God help us. We need some people that will keep on, even with the weight on them. My conclusion is this, and I'm through preaching. To any pastor, preacher, Christian hearing the message tonight, I conclude by saying this: we must not quit. We cannot quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on in the word, the way, the witness, the worship. There is, watch this now. There is no weight worth the consequence of quitting.
Yes.
Do you know that if you quit, there's a consequence to you? There's a consequence to your family?
Sure.
Consequence to your church?
Right.
Consequence to your pastor?
That's right.
Consequence to the coming generations?
Sure.
There's a consequence.
Amen.
But there's no weight that's worth the consequence of quitting. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
I need you to keep on keeping on. Pastor needs you to keep on keeping on. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, we need you to keep on keeping on. So whatever you do, continue thou. Just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor's coming. Pastor, if you will, come on. You give invitation as you see fit. I would just encourage you tonight, with nobody looking around, I just encourage you tonight, please don't quit. We need you. Pastor.